My name is Fred Hampton Jr. I'm the chairman of an organization entitled the POCC, otherwise known as POC, we are defined as the great grandchildren of Garvey, the offspring and the ideological cubs of the Panthers. It's a revolutionary organization. It is not a prison activist organization. As my comrade, I'm in this information, just pointed out that it was literally born from behind enemy lines, what many people refer to as the prisons, which you will notice. You will notice that we are sticklers for structure and sticklers for terms. We refer to the prisons. We refer to them as the concentration camps. And a lot of people take issue with that. They say, that's kind of a harsh term, harsh reference, taking into account the history where the word concentration camps associated with Dachau, Auschwitz, Nazi Germany. Our response is that when we use that term, it's not from a book that we read or Oz TV show that we've seen, but actual little brutal experiences that we lived and then died under. I don't know, some of the stuff I might say may be a foregone conclusion. I might be already covered ground. Chairman Fred Hampton was the Illinois chapter chairman of the Black Panther Party. Under his leadership, Illinois grew to have the largest chapter of this organization. The organization that was started in Oakland, California in 1966 by Minister U.E.P. Newton and Chairman Bobby Seale. Many of the survival programs, such as the Free Breakfast Program, the Free Medical Center. In Chicago, we had with the Free Breakfast Program, they fed a minimum of 3,500 children a week. And many of the programs that such people as Chairman Fred, as well as his respective organization, was never given credit for, they done it when it was a revolutionary act, such as the Rainbow Coalition. Contrary to what has been put out, that people like Reverend Jesse Jackson organized the Rainbow Coalition, truth be told, it was Chairman Fred who organized the Rainbow Coalition and done it, again, when it was a revolutionary act, done it when it was not the quote-unquote politically correct thing to do. He had took such formations as the Young Patriots, a group of poor whites out of the Appalachian Mountains, went against the grain against a lot of people's position. A lot of people was like, man, what you even talking to these white folks for? Chairman Fred took these forces and won them to some point of political unity. In fact, in one stage in the game, these cats were so reactionary, they were wearing Confederate flags on their jackets. Chairman Fred later won them to some point of political unity. And even the Young Lords, a Puerto Rican organization under the leadership of this guy named Cha-Cha Hernandez, Chairman Fred rapped with him when they was both locked up and won their organization to some point of political unity. And even was able to organize what we refer to as the unpoliticized street tribes. Again, that's a term that we use as opposed to referring to as the gangs. Because our position is that the worst gang in Chicago is the Chicago Police Department. The worst gang in L.A. is the L.A. Police Department, and so on and so forth. Such groups as the then-known Devil Disciples. Chairman Fred, they rapped with these brothers and sisters to a point and won them to a point of unity where they got up publicly and said, we now renown ourselves to be known as the Black Disciples due to the political education we have received from Chairman Fred and the Black Panther Party. Even later on, adopting the colors of the Panthers, the black, and which a lot of people call light blue, we like to refer to as Panther Blue. He was even able to flip the script on such tactics when the FBI, the major police force in this country, the FBI had approached the vice lords and told them that they would give them 16th Street, a portion of the west side of Chicago, under the condition that the Black Panther Party do not be able to open a free medical center on 16th Street. Chairman Fred's response was, we love you brothers and sisters, but we will get up with 8 to 10 of y'all asses for the masses, warn them to subsequently start working the free medical center. And at this time, even by the federal government's own records, and I quote that, the federal government's records, because a lot of times we don't believe things are a fact unless we say the government said it or white folks said it. But even by the federal government's own records, they said when the Black Panther Party was in existence, there was a record low to what they referred to as black-on-black crime. Now, taking this into account, you say, well, the logical response is that the government should have given them some sort of an award or accommodation for the great works that this organization was doing. However, they became under intense attack, which I'm sure was talked about prior to me getting here. Attack of a program entitled COINTELPRO, an acronym for Counterintelligence Program, a program in which the then director of the FBI, J. Edgar Hoover, articulated himself, said a program that was created to discredit, to dismise, and to disrupt and destroy any black nationalist movement, in which over 90% of it was directed to the Black Panther Party. Now this wasn't the first time the Chairman Fred himself was being targeted. In fact, prior to him even becoming a member of the Black Panther Party, at the age of 14, that's when his FBI file started. They had started watching him because he had took the junior NAACP from about 700 to 300 members in 7.5 months' time. In fact, in Washington, D.C., they thought it was a typo about him being 14 years old. back to the whole target of the Black Panther Party. And so it was, I stress this, that it was a national, most likely international targeting this organization that not only affected Chicago, but we're seeing cases in such as Oakland, California, the assassinations of 17-year-old Bobby Hutton. We're seeing situations later with Asada Shakur, who we define as our modern-day Harriet Tubman, forced into political exile. Cases of so many people like Mumi Abu-Jamal, New York 3, people who are still to this day are presently held political prisoners. And we've seen December 4th, 1969, which we about to embark on the 40th year, and we kind of cautious about using that term anniversary, but acknowledgement of this assassination. One of the most graphic depictions on what lengths this government has went to and will go to stop us from fighting for self-determination, and I stress this, on our own terms. I stress that. Prior to them making their move on Chairman Frey, December 4th for 69, and I say them talking about the U.S. government, because I'll be kind of careful with that abstract they and them. A lot of times people say that because they try to make some sort of abstract Wizard of Oz type of thing, but we like to get credit where credit is due. In fact, we say terms like in response to New Orleans, what happened? We don't say Hurricane Katrina. We say Hurricane America. We say Katrina ain't killed nobody. America did. You know what I'm saying? We like to be right. We like to be particular about that. They gave Chairman Fred a number of different trumped up cases. In one case, they gave him. They say they supposedly took $71 worth of ice cream from the Good Hume ice cream truck and gave it to the children. And Chairman Fred's response was, though, even though they made me out to be a thief, they made me out to be a Robin Hood type of thief, they still showed the true nature of a panther given to the people. And they had later sent him to Stateville, a place which we refer to as Deathville. We call it Deathville due to the amount of deaths that happened in this camp then and now. When he got down to Stateville, at that time, they would approach you and they would call you by a number as opposed to your name. They walk up to you, you know, for example, what's your name, bro? Mario what? Mario Adams. They would walk up to you, B42954, when you were supposed to respond. And just incidentally, the reason why that number popped in my head like that, that's a number that I had for 9 years. That's why I remember that number so quickly. But they would approach you by this number. But whenever they approached Chairman Fred with this number, his response was, I'm Deputy Chairman Fred Hampton, Illinois Chapter Chairman of the Black Panther Party. So the state had deemed him to be what they referred to as criminally mentally insane. And they had sent him to, later on, they had sent him to Menard. And when he got down to Menard, the prison administration had set a situation with some guys down there to attack him, to make a hit on him. And you, like I tell you a lot of times, you'd be surprised what some guys would do inside them camps for a conjugal visit, cup of coffee, shower, you name it. However, when this charismatic, courageous organizer hit down in the yard down in Menard, he had politicized these cats to the point that they told the prison warden, D, we on Chairman Fred's security now. Anything happened to him, we holding you accountable for it. He was later, we like to say, unleashed out of Menard on appeal bond August 13th of 1969. He hit the ground with a revolutionary fervor and still an undying dedication to fight for liberation of our people. Continue to organize. So we know that the state, the government, they go through processes, you know, to try to slander your name, buy you off, isolate you, send you, lock you up. So eventually, they got to do what we refer to as sending you to the revolutionary happy hunting ground. In other words, assassinate you. December 4th, 1969, federal government armed with a floor plan so detailed, they even would know a pack of cigarettes would be inside the house. A floor plan supplied to them by an informant by the name of William O'Neill. They had came, police, Chicago police had came in packed bail phone trucks. The YMCA, and I'm pointing out these different entities so we can be very clear that it just ain't no thing about just the police. You know what I'm saying? When I say the government, from the different entities that they work, you know, the media, schools, all that. Came in backpack bill phone trucks. The YMCA had took the little brothers, 13, 14 years old, who had previously did like loose security for Chairman Fred around the house. YMCA took them and arbitrarily just sent them out of town on a winter retreat. When the police came, they pulled all the occupants from outside their house on the block. They came and they had immediately surrounded the house. They had immediately shot and assassinated 22-year-old defense captain Mark Clark. The other occupants were saying, stop shooting, stop shooting. We have a pregnant sister in here. The pregnant sister, what he was referring to, was then 18 years old, just turned 18 years old. Deborah Johnson, 8.5 months pregnant, carrying me at the time. She literally felt the shells coming through the mattress. Chicago police, excuse me, let me be politically correct, the Chicago pigs continued to shoot through the house. They shot and wounded the Deputy Minister of Health, Ronald Doc Satchel, sister by the name of Verlina Brewer, Brenda Harris, and they continued to shoot. They went inside, they pulled my mother to be outside of the room, jammed the Chicago Police Department's revolver to her pregnant belly. When I speak about it, I draw the correlation. I say I didn't get the prenatal care a lot of people was afforded by having a doctor place a stethoscope on their mother's pregnant belly. The first piece of steel I ever came into contact with was the Chicago Police Department's revolver. They proceeded into the room, fired several more shots, and those were the fatal shots of the assassinated Chairman Fred at the age of 21 years old. That's add insult to injury. They took Deborah Johnson and the remaining survivors, locked them up, gave them some trumped up charges. So I was damn near almost born in jail. I tell a lot of people that I'll be able to organize, but Chairman, you need to be cool. You might get locked up for the shit you do. I said, shit, I was locked up before I got here. So with that being said, it would be wonderful if I can just say, you know, how bad things used to be. We come a great, you know, great distance now. Black people can sit on the front of the bus. You got a black president and how beautiful things are. However, the reality is this government has not forgotten the contributions of such forces as Chairman Fred, as well as they have not stepped back on their intense attack of stopping people from fighting their own liberation. Right now, where Chairman Fred is buried at, right in Haynesville, Louisiana, not too far from New Orleans, his tombstone is shot up annually by law enforcement officials. Places like Menard, where Chairman Fred was at in 1969 and where I was at in 1999, in every gun tower, they got photographs of me and him, or both. If you get caught with a photograph of any one of us, you get 6 months added to your time. You get 6 months in isolation and 6 months commissary denial under the officer season, what they refer to as a STG, acronym for Security Threat Group. People that Chairman Fred talked about back in the 60s and cases he talked about, they're still relevant. Cases of political prisoners, cases of what they didn't refer to as police brutality, but we refer to now as police terrorism. As my Minister of Information pointed out, some of the things we just wanted, some of the major campaigns that our organization is grappling with right now is that of the AAT bill. Again, that's the AAT bill, the African Anti-Terrorism Bill. It talks about the terrorism that happens in our community every day. In fact, we got a mantra. We say, goddamn it, every day is September 11 for us. However, we are the OVs, not the OGs, but the original victims of terrorism. People have been terrorized under such euphemisms as slavery, Jim Crow, redlining, urban renewal, or in fact, police brutality. We say we respect the mantra of the Alcoholics Anonymous. And they say the first step in addressing the problem, and we got a serious problem, is recognizing that we got a problem. Because being oppressed is embarrassing. So a lot of times we try to jive ourselves about being oppressed. But we say we can be a victim, but not only, we can be a fighting back victim. So we expose the contradictions, and we don't say, and we deal with them, and we get, and we understand, we stress that ain't nobody gonna save us but us. Ain't no Great White Hope gonna save us. Ain't no Manchurian Candidate gonna save us. And we stress that, you know, so we know that with the Sandinistas said in Latin America, that the will of the people is greater than the man's technology. We have a number of different tactics that we have implemented to get people involved in fighting for their own self-determination. We, again, look at the Black Panther Party as an example for us, a template on how to deal with struggle. We distinguish a revolution from a war. We understand that a war is you get two occupying armies and they suit up and boot up and go get out to get out. Revolution, on the other hand, is when you gain the minds and participation of the masses of people. Case example, you've seen throughout Africa, you've seen in Vietnam, you've seen through the Black Power movement of the 60s. And we say there's no neutral position in this war that's being waged on our people. We understand that things that just don't happen by osmosis or things just don't just happen, simply happen. Contrary to popular belief, in a lot of cases, a lot of y'all grandparents or probably great-grandparents told you, you know, when I was growing up, the music was saying something. James Brown was talking about I'm black and I'm proud. No disrespect to the dead, but we know the mechanics of that shit. We study it. We use dialectical materialism as one of our philosophical tools, and we know the history that James Brown had a whole totally different song planned at first. It was forces such as H.R. Brown, now known as Imam Jamil Al-Amin, and representatives from the Black Panther Party that literally drove down on him and told him, you better go back in the studio with that garbage you're talking about. James Brown came back out, told him, I'm black and I'm proud. It was a movement in place that did not allow him to pull that stunt he pulled later on in that Rocky movie, wearing them red, white, and blue drawers to my living in America. There was a movement in place that created a climate that was conducive for Marvin Gaye to go against Berry Gordy and them Italian gangsters who really ran Motown Records. And someone put this song out, What's Going On. Yeah, they was against that. Fast forward to the day. A lot of y'all see things happen. You think Kanye West on his own volition. Now, I ain't talking about this last incident that he just did. I'm talking about the thing about George Bush. Yeah. That was due to work that the POCC sat him down 8 hours before he did what he said, at Borders Bookstore on the north side of Chicago. And I'm not, we're not saying this because we on some braggadocio type of thing. We saying this so people can understand the power of the people, that movements make things happen. The streets make the music. Music don't make the streets. The dog wag the tail. Tail don't wag the dog. And you know, so people understand the power of the people. You know what I'm saying? We understand with any machine, the guts. Before you get to the glory, in fact, we say no guts, no glory. The thing, y'all, some of y'all probably seen the Dave Chappelle Block Party. We came out, we talked about different cases of political prisoners. That was not in the script for us to talk about the cases of Mumia Abu-Jamal, Eddie Conway, and other people, though. We seized the time. We put into practice what Minister UEP Newton said when he said that people learn best through observation and participation. We understand also what he said, that power. Power is the ability to define phenomena and make it act in a desired manner. I repeat. Power is the ability to define phenomena and make it act in a desired manner. Case examples. As a realist, we've seen such forces, Harriet Tubman, put her ear to the ground and see what was phenomenal. What was phenomenal during the era? And what they referred to as the Negro spirituals. She utilized that. Say, okay, now we're gonna keep these songs going, but now we're gonna be start singing some stuff like When the Sun Go Down, Meet Me Down by the River. Yeah. Reverend Nat Turner put his ear to the ground as a realist, not what he wants the world to be, seeing what the whole thing about the church being phenomenal. He defined it, gave an historical analysis to it, and said, praise the Lord, but pass the ammunition. We seen what Chairman Fred put his ear to the ground, went against the grain in Chicago. They call the street gangs. It's phenomenal in Chicago. Was then, is now. A lot of people say, you shouldn't talk to these gang bangers. Now, Chairman Fred defined this phenomenon. He said, this ain't nothing new. We always have organizations. We had organizations in Africa. This ain't nothing new. But he defined it and made it work in the interest of the people. What the government, what they do, what they attempt to do, and what they have been successful in doing in a lot of cases, is incorrectly define the phenomenon and make it work in the disinterest of the people. This thing, I'm going to close out this before I go to open up any questions. This tour is extremely important. This is the 40th anniversary of the assassination of Chairman Fred. Yes, sir. How you feeling, sir? Free them all, sir. Yes, sir. Right on. This is extremely important tour for a number of reasons. The 40th year of the assassination of Chairman Fred, 43rd year of the Black Panther Party. This is an organization that remains under attack. In fact, we got this saying, a lot of people take issue with us about saying it. We say, to us, legacies are more important than our life. And I'll be saying, I can't go along with that, Chairman. But legacies serve as an example, a prototype for, you know what I'm saying, for people with like situations or dealing with like situations, you know what I'm saying, example on how to get out. Because this ain't nothing new under the sun. You look back and say, okay, man, how did Harriet Tubman deal with this here? How did the Panthers deal with this here? So on and so forth. And it's important that you cross your T's and dot your I's. Because if you don't be on point, it can distinguish from Reverend Nat Turner being assessed as a crazy madman or a revolutionary. The Black Panther Party is an organization that so many people have attempted to hijack and water down, and even people that was in the party. Now, I stress, now, Chairman Fred was a Black Panther, Panther in heart, Panther in deed. There was some force that was in the party. Don't romanticize it. Not even I grew up as youth romanticizing. Everybody was about to struggle, and everybody came to free breakfast program, supported. And the reality is we struggle, and people need to understand this. And this is not just something with black people. In fact, this criminal Thomas Jefferson said with the American Revolution, one third was for it, one third was against it, and one third, whichever way the wind blew. Now, they can tell you what they want to tell you in your history class about everybody talking about Patrick Henry, give me liberty, give me death. I'm telling you the real deal. One third was for it, one third was against it, and one third, whichever way the wind blew. And it's during the Black Power Movement of the 60s. If you want to believe it, everybody came to the free breakfast program because they was interested in fighting for the people, socialism. Sounds good. Some of us came because they're hungry. And that's the reality. And it's, people get involved in struggle, you know what I'm saying, because then through inspiration, aspiration, or desperation. That's human nature. In fact, I think it happens to animals also. And that's the reality. And we understand that revolution is a scientific art that must be perfected. We say the POCC, we attempt to follow the work of the Black Panther Party. We say it is a tough act to follow, but we try our best. Now, I'm going to close out with that and open up for some questions or comments or struggles or disagreements. I thank y'all. Yes. Oh, please, please, I've been reminded. Please, y'all don't be afraid of this can going around. We do need some assist. Support our troops. And I ain't talking about U.S. Army troops. We are under serious attack. Our central committee right now, as I speak, our Minister of Defense, Aaron Patterson, is serving 30 years on a trumped-up charge. He was one of the individuals that was tortured in Chicago, electroshocked on the sex organs, handcuffed, the radiators naked. Right, I ain't talking about no Afghanistan. I ain't talking about no 1800s. I'm talking about right in Chicago, 1986. He served 17 years. He got back on the streets, locked back up, serving 30 years. We need assistance, you know what I'm saying, to get this case out. Our Minister of Information right now is set to go to trial December 7th. For a trumped-up charge he received after the rebellions occurred in Oakland, California, after the pigs, Johannes Mercilli, executed Oscar Grant in cold blood. Members of our rank and file facing trumped-up cases throughout this country, even in Brazil, which is one of our major chapters. So, again, so those of y'all can, we do need assistance in this mission, you know what I'm saying, to deal with the stuff that we're dealing with these cases. So I want to thank y'all in advance, you know, for those who are able to give. And with that being said, I want to open up any questions, comments, or, again, struggles or disagreements.
The death of your father was a pivotal point in my life. I had been working with the Oakland Panthers as a volunteer in the breakfast program in Liberation School for about 8 or 9 months since the spring of 69. I'll never forget the day he was assassinated. Was that helicopters were flying over the LA chapter. Pigs were ready to, as we used to say, bam. Panther chapters, and people came out. People came from the black community, from the campuses. They surrounded Panther headquarters, and they kept the pigs from repeating what happened to your father.
Mm-hmm.
I met my best friend for the last 40 years at one of those vigils. The Panthers educated me. They turned everything around for me. I learned that the reason nothing made sense was because I'd been told lies mm-hmm. all my life. They were portrayed as racists, as mm-hmm. white haters. They took me in like a sister and a comrade. They introduced me to people in the Patriot Party, and I ended up going to New York and working mm-hmm. in the Rainbow Coalition in New York mm-hmm. in the New Haven Panther Defense Committee. Your father was, of all the Panther leaders, he was the top. That's why he was the first target. He was the most revolutionary. He was the most able to bring people together. There was a story about how he organized the Patriot Party. They actually came to the Panthers and wanted to fight. And he said, okay, if that's really what you want, we'll do that, but let's take a walk through each of our communities. And they saw it was instantly, because of the material conditions, apparent to them that, sure, they had a lot more in common, poor whites and poor blacks. Rather than talk about race war, let's talk about class war. And, I mean, he was instrumental in bringing so many people into the struggle. The Keystone Rangers in Chicago, the Young Lords. Out here, it was the Brown Berets, the Red Guard in Chinatown. And it's just so great to see you carrying on his name, carrying on his struggle, and... they just assassinated a Chicano brother in Fresno, pulled him over. He was involved in a traffic accident and was shot dead in his car, just like Oscar Grant, just like another brother in New Orleans, just like is happening still all over. And it's just, I'm so encouraged by what I see with young people today, just ready to carry on the struggle all over the world.
Good. Right on. Just right on to you. Yeah,
I was just wondering, have any of the people that were responsible for your father's death been held accountable in any way?
Or suffered any repercussions from it?
You could actually use this one.
Okay.
And I'll use this one.
I got you. All right. So what's up with that hat you got on, man?
Citizens in Action.
Okay.
All right. You got to transform it, right? Change it around.
All right. Well, All right. Did everyone hear the question? Did everyone hear his question?
Oh, did you ask me?
No, everyone hear his question. Yeah. Okay. Let me say something first. This tour has been going on for quite some time. One of the tour spots that stick out of my mind and my heart is I think about 2 months ago, Oak Park, Illinois. We went to the funeral of former state's attorney Edward V. Hanahan. We went to express our disrespects, and you can see some of the photos on the archives of SF Bayview with us at the funeral. Y'all, everybody familiar with Edward V. Hanahan was? Edward V. Hanahan was Mayor Daley, excuse me, Gangster Daley. Gangster Daley's, that was the mayor of Chicago, senior, whose son's the mayor now. Hanahan was his political water boy. In other words, he was going to carry on. He was set to be the next mayor of Chicago. He played a key role in the assassination of Chairman Fred. His funeral just happened a couple of months ago, and we actually tied it in going to his funeral, one of our tour spots. And this tour is not only to send a message to remind the colonized community, but also send a message to the ruling class that we have not forgotten, you know, saying the crimes committed by them criminals from the state. But to the core of your question, technically, all the ones who played a role have not only, you know, saying they not only not been, justice has not been served, they have been rewarded. People like, for example, Joe Machine Gun Gorman. Joe Machine Gun Gorman got his moniker, got his nickname from the role he played December 4th of 69. He is later to become also one of Lieutenant John Burge's henchmen. Lieutenant John Burge is out of Area 2, the electroshocking of prisoners. And in fact, he played a role in electroshocking and torturing our present day Minister of Defense, Aaron Patterson. Joe, you know what I'm saying? Joe Machine Gun Gorman. So many of them players, you look through the present daily machine, you see them, it's an old saying, they say, only the names have changed. In Chicago, the names haven't even changed. And let me say this too, this kind of ties into the comment earlier. I stress to you, I plead, like you talked about, like even after the assassination of Chairman Fred and the attack on the LA headquarters, a lot of things were coming to fruition, what people were talking about, what the Panthers were saying prior to that, but people was dismissing this conspiracy theory, or I can't believe the government thinking, watching y'all like that. We plead, when we call for assistance with these cases we're dealing with, do not wait till it's a safe discussion to talk about us before we can get some support. And I say that, I use an example like about the Wheaties box. They had Muhammad Ali on the Wheaties box some years back. And a representative of Wheaties say, that's strange. Ali was an extraordinary athlete back in the 60s. And the representative of Wheaties say, well, we're going to put him on here now because he's safe. A lot of information that people talk about Malcolm being assassinated or the Panthers, you know what I'm saying, is when it's relatively safe to speak about. This shit's going down right down now today. I just got locked up what, 3 days ago. Just got out 3 days ago. And I'm talking about, it's common practice. You know, some of them pulled us over, threatened us. It's been two assassination attempts on my life since I've been out. There were several when I was locked up. And the pigs don't even deny it. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, our organization's under attack. So please, when we talk about these things, I mean, again, we stress the need for support right now today. Not, you know, later on. I mean, it's good after we gone, but again, recognize this stuff is, I mean, this the war is on. You know what I'm saying? The continuing counterinsurgency is on right now. But just go to the core of your question. No, the men, criminals and gangsters have been rewarded and elevated, you know what I'm saying? As well as, you know, Daley's son is the present mayor of Chicago. So the powerful, in fact, George Bush Jr. referred to Daley as the most powerful mayor in the country. You know what I'm talking about? Daley Sr. Yeah. So was I thorough with that? Okay, right on. Okay. Right on. Who is he?
As you probably know, there's an organization that calls themselves the New Black Panther Party, and I know that the Huey P. Newton Foundation did release a statement, you know, condemning them. I just wanted to know what your thought was on them.
Different animal. Totally different animal. Totally different animal. POCC, we are ideological cubs of the Black Panther Party. I don't know if it's when you want me to get more specific than that. You know, it's a totally different animal. Let me say this. I wish I could take this thing off. I'm gonna stick. I don't know if you know too much history about Chicago. It's structure. It's real known. It's one of these things known for its structure, not just with the street organization, but the religious formations. It's structure. In other words, it's not no vagueness. I'm talking about, like, you know, you got stool pigeons and informants, but it's a place for them. You know what I'm saying? That's where they at. And I fight, and we go through processes of trying to exhaust remedies and expose contradictions. I'm real passionate about this legacy about the Black Panther Party. Extremely passionate about it, because I said at the, not the funeral, because that was literally hijacked. I'm talking about the funeral of Stanley Tookie Williams. By people, you know what I'm saying, by forces who had no connection to Tookie Williams. That was a venue after Tookie Williams' funeral, which I said, man, he grew up in a climate similar to that I grew up in, devoid of organizations such as the Black Panther Party. Well, the only options in life was to become a Boy Scout or a banger. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. These are the options, quote-unquote options, that the ruling class, as well as those working into the ruling class, give us, that you can either become a Boy Scout or a banger. In other words, suit up and boot up for corporate America, 9 to 5 it up, or suit up and boot up to be some sort of aspiring Black Lucky Luciano or Black gangster. The Black Panther Party provided a venue with such forces as Bunchy Carter, Chairman Fred, you know what I'm saying? Well, man, they can do some gangster shit, but they weren't no gangsters, revolutionaries. You follow? Man, Bunchy Carter was the poetry of dude, same time to a man can lead a troop in a minute. You follow what I'm saying? So I've committed myself, and I committed this organization, that never again will a generation have to come up without the option of that sort of vehicle. That's what the Black Panther Party provided. That's what the POCC is providing. And this is an organization that deals with not only the race question, but also the class contradiction. In other words, we deal with Uncle Sam and Sambo. We will expose the gringo and the negro. We say if it don't work in the interest of the people, so be it. But just to the core of your question, totally different animal. Was that thorough? Make sure, was that thorough? Okay.
I just wanted to say I'm a Chicago native. I was born in Oakland, but I moved out to Chicago, so I kind of grew up in both places. I wanted to know, I'm sure you're aware of the massive amount of violence that's going on in Chicago right now, primarily due to some of the street, unpoliticized street tribes, and due to just a lot of things that's gone on in the past. So I wanted to know, how was your father able to get all those people, the Blackstone Rangers and the people that broke up into Vice Lords, Blackstones, and all those other things today, how was he able to get them together so the way there was unity at the time?
Damn, good question, brother. What's your name? Courtney? What side of town was you on?
Southside Chicago.
Right off of Southeast?
Yeah.
Okay, right on. When was the last time you was in Chicago? February. So you have to, man, let me talk to this mic. Man, you on 50 from Halston? Yeah, right on. Okay. Around the town. Okay. Yeah. Tilden High School. Yeah. You hip to this last scenario about this whole thing about Darren Albert?
Yeah, is that the high school kid that was killed?
Right.
Yeah.
Everybody pretty much familiar with that?
No.
Darren Albert. 16 years old, youth, Finger High School, and it's been all President Barack Obama and his staff. Everybody been commenting about this big thing. It's garnered international attention about this youth, Darian Albert. They got the videotape on YouTube of him being beat to death on the South Side of Chicago, and it's been defined as senseless violence. Now, let's use this as a case example. This kind of goes back into the question my man asked me earlier. I'm a stickler for sticklers for structure. Like y'all, like a lot of people be hearing me speak. They be like, man, why you always Chairman Fred? Why you know it's your father, the minister of information? You know, we got a saying with our organization: structure identifies state shit and stops a lot of bullshit. In other words, with structure, say some misinformation comes, and contradictions are going to happen. Say somebody put out some lies about the POCC. We have a structure that can trace it back. And say, wait a minute. Did this come from the Minister of Information? How did this misinformation come out about this organization? And we can say, hold on, this is some counterinsurgency or just some trivial shit. You follow what I'm saying? Structure does that. And if you don't, a lot of times people are getting, that's what people are against structure. Anybody who's against structure, look for their intentions. America's policy, can y'all hear me? America's policy, when they first come, when they go to Iraq, Afghanistan, Chicago, Detroit, is what? Create chaos and restore order. That's their policy. When they go to Iraq, they have you talking about, we don't make a big difference if Shiites and Sunni Muslims. It do make a, Saddam Hussein didn't have one-eighth of the problems that they got going over there right now. You feel what I'm saying? Structure. Structure. That's, we brought five families back. We brought five families back from New Orleans after Hurricane America, now Hurricane Katrina. Brought the families back. One of the little sisters, her family had never ventured out of New Orleans, had never even been to Baton Rouge, let alone seeing Detroit somewhere else. First time out of New Orleans. So the sister, her family, her mother was missing. So she said, Chairman Fred, let me talk to you for a minute. She said, my mother got some issues, you know. I said, how for you, sis? What is it? Dope, crack? She said, dope. She said, I don't even know where she at. First time out of New Orleans. So I got you. I said, give me 20 minutes. I went on 39th to low end, came back with her mom in 22 minutes. She said, man, how did you do? I said, sister, in this city, we got structure. You know what I'm saying? I said, man, your dog gets stolen, we know where to go. You know what I'm saying? It's structure. The organizational question has been seriously attacked. In fact, when former U.S. Attorney Jim Burns, when they vamped on the GDEs, and you remember the sweep on the GDEs, formerly known as the Gangster Disciples, y'all familiar? Now Growth and Development. Do you remember the statement by the U.S. Attorney Jim Burns? When they called the operation was named Operation Headache. That was the name of the operation, Headache. He said when they vamped on the GDEs, he said, prepare yourselves for not only citywide but nationwide violence. Remember that statement? So this is strategic. They know. See, when you destroy structure or order, you know what I'm saying? See the ironic thing, even that case of Darion Albert. If a lot of structure would have been in place, it wouldn't even get to that point. Let me give you some background on this so-called senseless violence that they're telling you about also, that we've been busting open. Darion Albert, they showed you the video footage of the 16-year-old youth beat down. It hit the emotions of the people. This is senseless violence. These cats just killing each other. However, we say what Chairman Mao Zedong stated, no investigation, no right to speak. We investigated this situation, man. We've been challenging this for a long time. This was a result of a program called Renaissance 2010. Renaissance 2010 was a program that the Daily Machine, I'm talking about Van Daily now, they stopped putting together in 2006. People like Paul Vallis. Paul Vallis has been moved out of school in Chicago to Philadelphia, now he's over schools in New Orleans. People like Arnie Duncan, who Obama had just elevated to a national level of national secretary of education due to his role he played with Renaissance 2010. Who Arnie Duncan is also married to Daley's niece. Renaissance 2010 sounds real good. That's a lot when they attack us with different attacks. The name sounds real good. Renaissance 2010 took situations like Crane High School on the west side of Chicago, majority black school. You know, Chicago is like one of the top two segregated cities in the country, not the world. They took the black children out of Crane High School, no transitional period. Overnight, dropped them in Clemente, created all type of contradictions, you know, in Clemente High School. Let's go to Argyle Gardens. Argyle Gardens is a community within itself, like a subsection. You know, they had their own little store, like its own, like all the cities. Argyle Gardens. Arnie Duncan and the rest of these gangsters, the rest of these criminals, they implemented Renaissance 2010. Took Carver High School. Now Carver High School is a school that generations ago had fought to get placed in Argyle Gardens. So your grandmother done fought to get this school placed in Argyle Gardens. So now Renaissance 2010 gonna take the school, shut it down, turn it to a military academy. All this is done under Renaissance 2010. And now Chicago per capita has the most military academies, you know, throughout the country. So now it's a military academy. Now I'm gonna add some mold for this recipe of destruction. So I'm gonna implement what they call selective enrollment. Selective enrollment is I'm only gonna take a 3 or 4 of y'all from this school that your grandparents have fought for, and y'all can come. But I'm going to take white students every morning. I'm going to bust white students in. So you can't go to the school, but every time you get up in the morning, you're seeing white students bust into this school. Now, still, I mean, a little more to this recipe for destruction. Take the students up out of Argyle Gardens, drop them in Finger where they know the history of hostilities at, and create a hostile situation. What they did not show you on that videotape was a 2-mile Chicago Police Department car sitting right there when their boy's being beat to death. What they did not show you in that videotape is Principal Dozier and the rest of their staff literally locking the doors on them babies out there at their school. What you have not been told about is them Negro preachers and religious leaders that literally stood next to Gangsta Daily and supported Renaissance 2010. And I can tell you about something that'll blow your mind and it'll shock you, who stood by and supported this whole thing. So we've been busting this Renaissance 2010, and the Daily Machine is very Machiavellian. This criminal, so Machiavellian, he brought King's son in to help support the push for the Olympics, and we shut him down. We don't care. We combat liberalism. You know, we protest, go on YouTube, we protest against Olympics. And when Daley brought Dr. King's son in, we don't get no fuck who you bring in. See, that was us when Obama was running for Senate. We're not letting him come on the stage unless he held the African Anti-Terrorism Bill at the Hip Hop Summit. A lot of people were very upset with us. Y'all shouldn't do that. Obama's going to be one of the first black senators. We said, we don't get no fuck if you're going to be the first black Martian. If it don't address what's going on in our community, we're going to shut it down. That's how we get out. And going to record your question, how do we deal with all these contradictions? Tell you, I'm going to quote this brother what he told me. I was in the camp Galesburg. You heard of Galesburg? The brother told me in Galesburg. He said, Chairman, we respect your call when you call certain things with us, because he said when the war and them come through, you don't bite your tongue. You call a question on it. You follow what I'm saying? See, we deal with the principal contradictions, the root cause of it. These young brothers and sisters are very intelligent. And Stephen Biko of the Black Conscious Movement said, and I write what I like. Stephen Biko said, we must learn the ability to distinguish intelligence from the ability to articulate. What that means is, people are very intelligent. They might know all your words and terms, but they know you're trying to bullshit them. You follow what I'm saying? And people learn, again, best through what Minister UEP Newton said, best through observation and participation. They see all these old poverty pimp-ass organizations. They see ceasefire and they come out there talking about stop the violence. When the police come, pull your drawers down and stick screwdrivers up your rectum, they don't say nothing about it. They know you bullshitting. But they respect the POCC, get them, because we call the question. And Daley's so Machiavellian, we say everything is political. Everything is political. We distinguish electoral politics from politics. Electoral politics, or what we call plantation politics, just voting and shit, we distinguish that. We say everything is political. Words, terms, fashion, everything. Even after the situation with Darren Albert being beat, when Jesse Jackson got on at the boy's funeral and called for the National Guard to be brought in on us, we checked this motherfucking ass in Argyle Gardens. We exposed that. Because we don't care when the attack come down on us, again, we don't care who it come through. And Daley is a genius at that. Then go look on YouTube about the video they had planned for David Banner to come in and do a video about Stop the Violence. And go look at how that video got canceled. We went to this hotel room explaining here, man, did this here. You think it's a coincidence that you're going to do this video on the west side of Chicago at George's, you know about George's Music Room? At George's Music Room when the beating happened way out here on the south side of Chicago? He's like, man, my thing is I got a good heart. We're trying to do good, you know, good. That's, you know, how the old saying go, the road to hell paved with good intentions. George's is a symbolism of Daley. George's the only Negro got businesses in Midway and O'Hare Airport. George's one of the only few black businesses that survived after the rebellions in the 60s. It's like a woman is raped. You come in, a woman raped, and you see the rapist right here, and you walk up to her and start saying, look, sis, you got to stop wearing them short skirts. You validating the rapist. That's what most of these so-called leaders do. They come out there attacking the people, the victims. Now we can. Now it's contradictions we can deal with. Now after I check this rapist and deal with him, I might have a discussion with the sister. Like, look, be on the heads up, you know. So that's a personal discussion between us. We say the Black Panther Party said differences between the people are reconcilable. Difference between the people in the state are irreconcilable. So the primary step is to expose and to draw the line demarcation. Who is with the state and who is with the people? All police don't wear uniforms. I had a struggle earlier with some guys. They talking about Frank Lucas. Stupid person. See, I ain't set tripping, but let me say this. Ain't no hospital records to show that this nigga 50 Snitch got shot 9 times. None. Where I come from, you can make one phone call and check and see, man, who is dude? You know the history of Chicago. You know, man, you mean when faces, that's a whole other story. I'll go all day with you, but structure. I'm saying to say, you could structure, again, is people that's agent provocateurs in our community. People acting on saying one thing. 3 minutes. Okay, gotcha. Well, it's important that we expose the contradictions and be clear to be able to distinguish the lines between the criminal and the victims. These children, the majority of them people are the victims. Through our work, we the one got Bailey out, the one that the principal when everybody lied and said that boy beat Darren Albert. They said they seen him on videotape. We got him out. He out of jail now because the work that we did. They lied on this guy. We exposed how the police sitting right there, you know, sitting the whole thing. We exposed how Arnie Duncan, Daly, they got blood on their hands from killing this boy Darren Albert. So that's the first step in dealing with the contradictions in the community. Then you got the ear of them young brothers and sisters. The Stones and Disciples respected Chairman Fred because they knew he'd call out Gangsta Daly also. You know, them cats don't respect a lot of these so-called. They know they bullshit. They know they on some Oprah Winfrey type, Bill Cosby, Ludacris, 501c3 types, right off type of shit. They ain't gonna do no. They ain't gonna get their hands dirty. They go out to the weeds and play at the pricks. We go at the root of it. We go at the root of it. Hey, one more question. I gotta close out.
I'd like to make one comment in response to that question of the violence. You know, almost no students that went to school in the Oakland school system have ever heard of the Oakland General Strike of 1946. But during that strike, even the chief of police was forced to admit that crime came to a halt. And why? It's like the brother was saying, because the people were so united fighting against the system, that was what brought an end to that violence. And in my own experience, I worked 30 years in construction. I saw the same thing. Those union members that were involved in fighting the boss, they supported their brother and sister construction workers. Those that weren't, they either committed violence against themselves in form of alcoholism and so on, or against their fellow workers. So I think all of that just confirms what the brother is saying up there.
Chairman right Fred, on. If you want to respond to that, our program is going to be over at 2 o'clock. We're going to save the last 5 minutes for the sponsoring organization, SDS, to give a report to the students here on the struggle that's going down on campus and in the community here. So if you could make your concluding remarks, no and problem. We can have the last 5 minutes.
I'm going to paraphrase what Chairman Fred said. He quoted Minister UEP New. He said, when a slave kills a slave master, it's a cleansing process. He said, an oppressor is gone, a new man is born. During eras of struggle, you see a whole cleansing process, you know what I'm saying? With Che Guevara said, seeing the new man, or new man and new woman, you know what I'm saying? So through struggle, you know what I'm saying? We have all been infected by imperialism. You know what I'm saying? It's certain shit that we do that's contrary to us, I'm saying. As Field Marshal George Jackson also said, capitalism not only affects the economy, but it affects the psyche. Them children don't be growing up to them, they won't be no sale, no drugs. Them sisters don't say, when I grow up, I'm going to start selling my body. These men, a non-independent people don't make independent decisions. Marcus Garvey say a lot of times when poverty comes in the front door, morality leaves at the back window. You know what I'm saying? So we got to fight against these conditions that's forcing us. We don't choose to be goddamn O.J. Simpson, Nelly, or Frank Lucas. These are the situations that have forced economies, forced politics, and forced occupation on our communities. With that being said, man, revolutionary appreciation y'all for y'all support. Make sure y'all see it. We got a table back there. I think in the back, check us out. Please to sign up. Twitter, Facebook, put out the word, the work the POCC is doing, y'all. We say, what's our call? Free them all. What's our call?
Freedom all.
What's our call?
Freedom all.
Right on.